rules meeting today, and our first order of business is to, I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2749. You want to move this one?
Mr. Chair, I move the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 2749.
Representative Edwards moves the rules be suspended for the purpose of reconsidering the vote on House Bill 2749. The motion is not debatable. Is there any objection to the motion to reconsider? Seeing none, so ordered.
Mr. Chair, I move we reconsider the vote by which House Bill 2749 was sent to the floor with due pass as amended recommendation.
Representative Edwards moves that to reconsider the vote by which House Bill 2749 was sent to the floor with a due pass as amended recommendation. Is there any discussion? So, this is the point. Could we invite some testimony about... Oh, wait.
You can do it either now or...
Any discussion on that motion? I keep waiting for this one. Are you okay with this one? Okay. Thank you. Okay. Is there no discussion? Is there any objection to the motion? No. So moved. And that brings the measures once again before the committee. And so that's where we are.
Did we just lose somebody?
He's just outside. He's coming out.
Okay. He was here a minute.
Yeah.
I think you can either have the testimony now and then reconsider for that after.
Okay. Let's have some tests. I want Senator Pozanski to come forward. There's a new dash five amendments.
Mr. Chair, thank you, and committee members. That's correct. We do have a dash five. My understanding, the committee wanted to make certain that the Oregon Youth Conservation Corps had some requirement to report back to the Legislative Assembly to determine what type of recruitment plan and retention plan they have in place and will implement in the future to have the ability to determine the demographics of the participants of the program and the efforts that they use and the specifically the groups that actually are seeking grant money from the Corps for recruitment and retention of eligible youth into their programs that qualify for the funding from the state through the OYCC, and also what obstacles they may be faced with in getting youth into the program. I believe the Dash 5 accomplishes the request of this committee in providing that that report must be followed with the Legislative Assembly by February 1, 2010, so this next February 1st, and that the money that is going to be realized from the bill itself, that's not part of the Dash 5s, but in the main component of the bill, would be made available to OYCC for any amusement tax devices during the tax years beginning on or after July 1, 2010. So in other words, they will have to have the report to this assembly prior to them being eligible to receive the money by about, it looks like about 5 months. That will give the assembly the opportunity to reflect on the report and make what, if any, changes it deems appropriate at that time prior to them receiving any of the, or realize any of the additional tax that would be coming from the main bill on all or after July 1, 2010.
Okay. Do people understand what it's doing now? Any questions? Okay, then we'll go to the next motion. Thank you very
much. Mr. Chair, I move we reconsider the vote by which the Dash 2 amendments dated 6-10-09 were adopted.
Representative Edwards moves to reconsider the vote by which the committee adopted the Dash 2 amendments dated 6-10-09. Is there any discussion of that? So what this will do is remove the Dash 2s from the original bill so we can put in the Dash 5s. Seeing none, any objections to the motion? Seeing none. So ordered. So now we'll go to the new motion, which is the Dash 5,
dated 6-18-09. It's on the reverse side, I'm sorry.
Mr. Chair, I move the dash five amendments dated 6-18-09.
Representative Edwards moves the dash five amendments dated 6-18-09. Is there any discussion? Seeing none, is there any further no discussion? So, with that, we'll take, is there anyone opposed to the dash fives? Seeing none, so order.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2749 as amended to the floor.
Not. We don't need
the do pass recommendation.
Representative Edwards moves the House Bill 2749 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Just that I hope that all due speed can be put into dropping this bill on the desk so that we can. It's been delayed for a very long time for a variety of reasons, and this needs to go quickly.
Thank you.
Oh, and I need to declare a potential conflict of interest. I and my family have investment in companies that make amusement and gambling devices.
Okay. So, with that, we'll take a roll call vote.
Representative Garrard?
No.
Representative Gelser?
Aye.
Representative Jensen?
Aye.
Representative Nolan?
Yes.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Vice Chair Berger?
Excuse.
Vice Chair Edwards?
Aye.
Chair Roblin?
Aye. Motion passes. Representative Esquivel will carry.
Okay.
So, thank you, Senator Przanski. So, we'll close our public hearing and work session.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
What was the final vote on the bill?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1.
Okay, thank you.
We're going to open a, we're going to close the work session on 2749. We're going to open a, is it just the work session?
Which one?
Second.
3497 is just a work
session. On 3497. We'll have a short explanation by our administrator.
Thank you, Chair Roblin. Members of the committee, House Bill 3497 exempts gasoline with an octane rating of 91 or above from the mandate to blend gasoline with ethanol. You previously discussed the 2007 ethanol mandate and 2008 exemptions. House Bill 2210 in 2007 instituted the requirement that retail sellers of gasoline can only sell gasoline that contains at least 10% ethanol once Oregon production of ethanol reached 40 million gallons per year. House Bill 1079 in 2008 amended the requirement by permitting the sale of non-blended gasoline for several non-road uses. The exemptions were recreated because of reported problems experienced by the exempted devices and because the ethanol blending requirement was designed to apply to vehicles on Oregon roads. Ethanol in gasoline sold in Oregon is typically blended at the terminal prior to distribution to retailers. In addition, most retail sellers maintain only one or two underground tanks for gasoline, one for regular unleaded, one for premium-grade unleaded. These two factors have limited the availability of unleaded fuel to owners of the vehicles and tools exempt from the ethanol requirement. House Bill 3497 exempts premium gasoline, which has an octane rating of 91 or above, from the 10% ethanol blending requirement imposed under ORS 646.913.
Okay. So, we had a bill very similar to this, as we know. We passed it. It didn't make it very far in the Senate. So, we're giving it another try. Representative Edwards. Yes.
And there's no ways and means referral, is
no ways and means referral.
And we have the fiscal and the revenue.
The fiscal is minimal and the RIS is zero.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I am proud to move House Bill 3497 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
A proud Representative Edwards has moved House Bill 3497 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any further discussion?
I'm proud of Representative Edwards.
Okay. I appreciate that, too. I'm sure he does. So, Any further discussion? Seeing none, we'll take a roll call vote.
Representative Garrard?
Aye.
Representative Gelser?
Aye.
Representative Jensen?
Right.
Representative Nolan?
Excused.
Representative Reed?
Aye.
Vice Chair Berger?
Excused.
Vice Chair Edwards?
Aye.
Chair Roblin?
Aye. Motion passes. Representative Freeman and Representative Hanna, in that order, will be the carriers of this bill. We're going to close our work session on House Bill 3497. We're going to open a public hearing on House Bill 3507.
That's why everybody's here. And this is a public hearing and possible work session.
Somebody go out there. Explanation by our administrator.
Thank you, Chair Roblin, members of the committee. House Bill 3507 modifies the definition of political matters, religious matters, and the scope of immunity from adverse employment actions against employers, against employees, as outlined in Senate Bill 519A of 2009. There is a dash one amendment before you which deletes labor organization from the definition, modifies the definition of political matters and religious matters, clarifies what a court must award to prevailing employee, clarifies that the measure does not apply to requirements relating to meetings or communication about religious matters by an employer that is a religious institution, corporation, association, educational institution, or society. The measure in its original form and it, with the dash one amendment, in either case has no revenue impact and minimal fiscal impacts.
Thank you. The good chair will kick us off.
Thank you, Arnie Roblin, House District 9. When we heard a bill previously, 519, there were some comments that were made that tweaked my interest more, and after committee, I had the opportunity to talk with some people, and I came to the conclusion, even if other people didn't agree, that two parts of this bill were important to me to clarify and to put what I believed was the right deal. So I took a priority bill, that's the one you see in front of you, that changed the wording from who in one section to because. And that change, I think, is significant. I felt important about making that change as we move forward. There was another part of the bill that had to do with all political issues as opposed to changing it to the form of measures, which I think gives us much more latitude, both in corporations and even in this body, to have conversations, which I think are important, about things that are moving through the process as opposed to things that are already out on the ballot. So that's why I introduced this bill. I think it does those things that can make 519, in my opinion, a little bit better bill. So any questions? I would be glad to answer them.
Questions? This is your shot.
It's too good to pass.
Sure, I'm ready.
No, I don't have any questions. Okay.
Thank you very much.
So, as the chair is coming back,
Mr. Chair,
we could
do
have
we
a
have a copy of the bill? I can't seem to find it. I can't seem to find a copy of the bill.
Of the bill. Andy the Easton, bill Jim Gardner.
They put it in the packet.
Why don't we start with those two?
Amendments in there.
We'll do two panels.
But I have one.
That's pretty good. Sorry about that one.
Call those two up next. Okay. The next two together.
Yes.
Do I have the dash
the
one?
Bill, the A1 amendments?
No. I don't have a copy of the bill.
We're getting you the bill. We forgot.
Oh, I got the bill.
Oh, okay.
It's the bank.
It's not the A1.
No, this is
right.
The one, right. I think. I don't.
Yeah. Okay.
Are you ready?
Whoever wants to start.
Andy Easton, Associate
excuse me, Andy Easton, the Director of Advocacy for the Oregon Association of Hospitals and Health Systems. And we are here today in opposition of House Bill 3507. We do appreciate the Chair's willingness to amend the bill, Senate Bill 519. However, we do think the language in the amendment as well as in 3507 actually broadens our liability regarding the religious matters. We do believe that that is very important for our faith-based hospitals to talk about their missions and their values with their employees, and we think this just expands that to greater liability. What we would like to do, Chair, if possible, if during the interim as you are working on other issues that may come forward to your committee next February, is to work with you in creating some language that would fix our issues for us.
Thank you, and I look forward to working with you.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Jim Gardner with the Gardner and Gardner Law Firm. I just want to point out a couple of facts about the 3507 and the dash ones, if I may address those in a single presentation. What you're doing with the deletion on page 1, line 16 through 23, is with regard to labor organizations, you're simply deleting the definition of it, but you're keeping in the reference on line 10 to labor organizations. So they're essentially an undefined subset of constituent groups, but there it still applies to labor organizations. With regard to the remainder of the group, you are still creating favored and disfavored classes of speech based on the content of the speech, so from the point of view of the Article 1, Section 8 analysis I presented last time with regard to Senate Bill 519, that problem still remains.
Thank you, Bill. Any questions for either of you? No? Okay. Thank you. And let's see, where's my list? Next we'll have Jenna. Is it? I always say Colja?
Kaluza.
Oh, Kaluza. Okay, that makes sense. And J.L. Wilson.
Thank you, Chair Roblin, and members of the committee. For the record, J.L. Wilson representing AOI. Very grateful for the Chair's efforts to attempt to make the bill better. We still find Senate Bill 519 repugnant. This bill does not change substantively, I think, any of the issues that we argued about with regard to the constitutionality, with regard to the liability of now having a new protected class of employee, and just with regard to critical communications that employers now have with their employees. We think that there will be a chilling effect. So I really appreciate the effort. It's sort of an awkward position here, but I just don't support the bill. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes.
Yeah, I have a question.
Yeah.
I understand you didn't like 519. You were here. You were very clear about that. How does this not make it? I mean, even if you still don't like 519, how is this a bad bill?
Well,
notwithstanding the comments that were made earlier about potential Article 1 problems, but how does this not tighten up the really large concern that several people stated at our hearing on 519 about creating a protected class of people that could never be fired if they just decided not to attend a particular meeting? I mean, how does that not... I understand you don't like 519. I got that. But does this not take one little bitty step toward making it more tolerable?
Thank you. Chair Roblin, Representative Edwards, no. As was mentioned by Ms. Easton before me, I think a reading of this bill could be said to expand liability when you talk about activity related to. Now, Mr. Bernasek, in prior testimony, mentioned the language in line 29 of the first page, and you're substituting the word who because the employee declines. Now, we can argue about that, but the fact of the matter is an employer is still going to be challenged and a suit is still going to be filed regardless of what this language says, because you could ostensibly make the claim that an employer is taking an adverse employment action because of the missed meeting or the desire not to have a communication. I don't know how you could fix that with language in any way, quite honestly. But, you know, that is our read, so I don't believe that that substantively changes. And so from our perspective, it almost just seems like a revalidation of 519.
Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And apparently, Jenna's not here. Is there anyone else that came who just wants to come up and testify? Because I have a couple minutes because I'm waiting for a member. So, is there anyone? Okay. Then we're going to take a short little break while Representative gets here. We called. I think she's on her way. Should we take away this? We'll just stand to these. Oh, we're still on. It's not blinking.